just background. It's always nice to know why it was written. And Bree did that, fired him up, even playing that trumpet. I have been churches that you'd never hear that in because they have no children. I talked to a pastor a while back. He said, man, he said, we just wish we had kids. I said, man, we're trying to hire, rent old people at our church. Amen. What a blessing. Amen. I guess I are one of them after Sunday, Monday, but anyway. David wrote this psalm. And at the beginning, it says, to the chief musician, a psalm of David. This is the last, and may I say, the most vehement of the imprecatory psalms. Imprecatory means, I hope you die, or curse you, or whatever, you know. And of course, this is a powerful psalm. It breathes the spirit of vengeance without equal of all the Word of God. So it's going to be a tough one. It calls down duress, curses on the heads of the offending individuals and does so with passion and persistence. The pointedness, this psalm has caused Christians great discomfort and great difficulty. All kinds of suggestions have been made for toning it down, the vindictiveness of the display that it has. We're reminded by some interpreters that the Old Testament law was law and not grace, and law prevailed. And therefore, the Old Testament error is plainly inferior to the New Testament error. We are invited by others to render some of the verbs in the future tense so that it is regarded as a curse in prophetic, in prophetic of certain doom of wicked people. Of course, we know that that's coming. We know that man is, the only way to be sent to hell is not accept the free gift of heaven. That is the curse. That's the worst thing you could do, not have faith. You'd hear the people talking about that, that's the unpardonable sin. The unpardonable sin is not trusting Christ as your personal Savior. That sends you to hell. And, it's just the Holy Spirit. People say, not listen to the Holy Spirit. That's right. The Holy Spirit says, you're a sinner and you need to go to heaven. And Jesus paid the price. And if you invite him to come in, he'll come in and live in your heart and give you a life everlasting in heaven. Amen. But if you don't want to listen to that, you pay the price. So, after all, didn't God promise to curse those who curse David? And Abraham and his seed? I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curse thee. The sentence was, Leviticus chapter 24, verse 19, as he hath done, so shall it be done to him. Or, let me see thy vengeance on them, is the kind of prayer the persecuted prophet of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 11:20 prayed. The wise men of Israel could write, whoso rewardeth evil for good, evil shall not depart from his house. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 13. So we're reminded, too, that the Old Testament does not differentiate between the sinner and his sin, as does the New Testament. There's a differentiation between that. To include man's failure in the judgment as part of the dogma, and based on the fact that the Mosaic Law views the family as a basic unit of society. And we are told that the psalmist cursed like this because he did not know that God had appointed a day in which he would judge the world, and therefore the Old Testament saints expected retribution in his lifetime of the wrongdoing against him. Others have seen this passage entirely prophetic, seen the sign to Judas, and with some justification, because Peter quotes from the upper room after the suicide of the traitor, the psalm was logical to be assigned to the Jewish people, who might have every justification thus curse their enemy during the Great Tribulation period. And that's going to happen. It's going to be a terrible time in Tribulation period. But having said that, the curses remain vicious and vindictive and vehement, and it has driven some commentators to totally different conclusions. Rottenham, which is a tremendous writer, half a dozen reasons for his thinking the curse, that the curse itself is not that David at all. It is true, no doubt, that this is a psalm of David, because the title suggests that. But David did not curse in this psalm. What he does is describe the details of the curses being heaped upon him by his foes. And when you read this, I hope this is not boring you. I'm just trying to get you to understand it. So when you read it, you understand it. When I was in college, they would say, don't learn the song until you know the music. And let the music set in, and then get the words to go with the music. And I have found that to be very true in when I sing, to learn. There's a song called Justified. I love Justified. I love singing that song. I'm justified. I'm happy in Jesus today. But that song drove me crazy. I couldn't figure it out. So Marcia started playing. I said, just keep playing. And all of a sudden, the words, I started learning the words. And it fit the song. And so sometimes we just don't get it. And here it is. David wrote this psalm, and he said, these are things that happened to me. And so the psalm probably belongs to that the period when David was forced out of his kingdom by his son Absalom. It is not likely that David would curse his beloved, though wicked, son, nor that Absalom, abandoned as he was, would curse his father. And so let's take our Bible tonight and let's read Psalm 109. Let's stand together, give God the reading of his word. Remember now, this is what now? The greatest of all precatory psalms. This is the last of all. You won't hear any more from now until 150. But you will hear some pretty rough stuff in here. In fact, if you're reading the Bible like I do, you read this today on the 22nd of January. Hold not thy peace, O God, my praise, for the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are open against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. They compassed me about also with words of hatred, and fought against me without a cause. For my love, they are my adversaries, but I give myself unto prayer. That might be a good idea for some of you that have problems and people don't like you. You think maybe just give yourself to prayer. They have rewarded me evil for good, and hatred for my love. Set thou a wicked man over him, and let Satan stand at his right hand. That's not good, amen? When he shall be judged, let him be condemned, and let his prayer become sin. Now, in the New Testament, we would do what? We would do as Jesus. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Love your enemies. Do good unto those that, they curse you or persecute you. This doesn't sound like that, amen? Remember now, we're reading the Old Testament. Let his days be few, and another take his office. I've heard that about some people saying about people that are in government. Let their days be few, and let another take his office. How many have heard that before? Yeah, you rascals. That's where it's at. It's in the Bible, all right? They're just quoting the Bible. Let his children be fatherless and his wife be a widow. Whew! Let his children be continually vagabonds and beg. Let them seek their bread also out of their desolate places. Let the extortioner catch all that he hath, and let strangers spoil his labor. Doesn't look like there's much left for that, amen? Let there be none to extend mercy unto him, neither let there be any to favor his fatherless children. Is this tough or what? Do you see why I gave you the background a little bit? It's kind of like somebody said, I'm going to rip your arm off and beat your head with a bloody butt of it, amen? Let his posterity be cut off. And his generations follow, let their name be blotted out. Let the iniquity of his fathers be remembered with the Lord, and let not the sin of his mother be blotted out. Now, I don't know about you, but I certainly would not like this to be prayed about me. Let them be before the Lord continually, and that he may cut off the memory of them from the earth. You know what? I've met some Christians like this that pray this prayer about other people. That's not right. This is not tender-hearted forgiving of the mother. As God has forgiven you for Christ's sake, is it? Because that he remembered not to show mercy, but persecuted the poor and needy man, that he might even slay the broken in heart. As he loved cursing, so let it come unto him. You understand what I'm reading here? And as he delighted not in blessing, let him be far from him. Let it be far from him. As he clothed himself with cursing like as with his garment, so let it come into his bowels like water, let oil into his bones. Let it be unto him as a garment which covereth him, and for the girdle wherewith he is girded continually. In other words, he can't get away from it. He just can't get away from it. You can't get away from the troubles and heartaches. Let this be the reward of mine adversaries from the Lord, and of him that speak evil against my soul. But do thou for me, O God, the Lord, for thy name's sake, because thy mercy is good, deliver thou me. Sure doesn't seem too fair, does it? Yeah. He said, man, Lord, you take care of me now. You bless me, but send the boogeyman to them, amen. For I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. I am gone like the shadow when it declineth. I am tossed up and down as a locust. Locust is a grasshopper, right? My knees are weak through fasting, and my flesh faileth of fatness. I became also a reproach unto them when they looked upon me and shake their heads. Help me, O Lord my God, and save me according to thy mercy, that they may know that this is thy hand, that thou, Lord, hast done it. Let them curse, but bless thou. When they arise, let them be ashamed, and let their servants rejoice. Let mine adversaries be clothed with shame, and let them cover themselves with their own confusion, as with a mantle. I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. Yea, I will praise him among the multitude, for he shall stand at the right hand of the poor and save him from those that condemn his soul. What is a psalm? Psalm is a psalm book. It's a song. I don't know about you, but I don't think too many times I like to have somebody in church say, let's sing 109. It just gives me the heebie-jeebies just reading that. Why? Well, because one, I've trusted Jesus Christ, my personal Savior. Number two, I have seen what God has done, what He has promised me, what He does to my sins. And if I, Jesus said, if I don't forgive others, I won't be forgiven. Sometimes Christians don't get that. We're still living in the Old Testament time. There God ripped him from one side to the other. Run him down. Hook him on a trailer and pull him around. Amen. Put salt in his wounds. Jesus came to settle that, didn't he? Aren't you glad about that? Aren't you glad about that? Well, I want to talk about David's faith exercise there in verse 1 through 5. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Lord, help us not to be that way. Help us to be true to the Word of God. Help us do the whole Lord. Help us live holy. Help us stay away from those people who would hurt us and do things wrong. Lord, just keep us serving you. Lord, you know what we need. There's a lot of people out there like to have some kind of conspiracy against us or certain things that would hurt us and happen to us. But Lord God, please keep us in the straight and narrow. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. First of all, David's faith is exercised. David turns to God in the face of the dreadful things that are being said about him. He said, "Dear God, hey," he said, I want to bring divine attention to me. I've said it many times. Many times we Christians can't get anything done because the world or Satan and the devil. You know, the Bible says we fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers of the air. And many times those principalities, powers of the air keep us from doing. I was reading last week about the scriptures. Only one time in the Bible talks about being distracted. It'd be kind of fun if you looked that up in your Bible. Distracted. And talks about that we're distracted. I am distracted many times and will do what I want to do. Have you ever been distracted? You have something you want to do and you can't get to it, or something won't work, or you have a flat tire, or, you know, on and on. There's some distraction. The kids are fighting and you're trying to be quiet. You're trying to have your quiet time with the Lord and you're getting charged up. And, you know, it's kind of sometimes I sit at my iPad and I'm using it and it does not fill up with juice anymore. It just stays at 45% or whatever. You know, I'm not losing any power, but I'm not gaining any power. And I think sometimes in our Christian life, that's what happens to us. Amen. We try our hardest, and it just seems like they talk about the turtle. The faster he gets, the behinder he gets. The faster he runs, the behinder he gets. In other words, but anyway, that's the way we are sometimes. We just run, and just seem like, you know what? God does answer our prayers. Today I was looking for something. I was just confounded. I couldn't find this. And I said, "Dear God," out of desperation, "Dear God," I said, "why can't you show me that?" I opened up a file drawer. There it was! I just had me a fit right there. You don't understand. I've been fasting here for almost 32 years. You think I've got some files? For the last 4 years, it's pretty much all green now. I hardly preach out of paper. But, man, I couldn't find that to save my soul, and I needed to get it. I needed to find these files, and there they were. And God answered my prayer. And I'll tell you what, I thanked him, and I'm still thanking him. I'm praising the Lord. I wrote to somebody that I was trying to find it for, and I wrote to them, I said, "Praise the Lord." And they're not a Christian. I said, "Praise the Lord, I found these files." I'm giving God the honor of it. Amen. But there's things that distract us in our life, and there's some distraction going on in David's life in Psalm 109. There's people that are after his throat. His old son. And you know, there are certain people that always get on the bandwagon of those people that go against certain things. And now it's not their, You become their enemy, and you weren't even, they had nothing to do with it.
That'll happen in your church. Oh, yeah. They have nothing to do with it.
But they'll get in there because there are certain people that always want to get in a fight. That's why the Bible says pastor can't be a brawler. Can't be looking for a fight. Can't be looking for a fight. But you bring it on. Not for me. But you start messing with the flock. This old shepherd is gonna move towards you. Now I'm gonna try to still the person that's gonna cause trouble. And I see so many times in the churches we get so distracted about this and that. This is where we're going. We're trying to keep our missions going. We're trying to get our vacation Bible schools going, our ladies meeting, and our men's sportsmen's and things, and our vacation Bible schools and our camps and all this. We're trying to get it all going, you know. And there's always something in there. Always something. Why? Well, if I can take you and get you mad at this and get you mad at that and get that, first of all, you ain't got no money to do anything. What about those missionaries who need your money? Can they go out and get an extra job? No, they can't get an extra job. So, what has happened in America, I forget, somebody said, I was reading an article about pastors and the pastors are dropping out of the ministry. It's unbelievable. I want to say 1,600 a year or something like that. I mean, we're talking independent Baptists. What happened? I'll tell you what happened. They got distracted. That young man that killed that man last night and killed himself, I'll tell you, he got distracted. He got distracted. Somewhere, someplace, he missed something. And you can be as good as you can be. And I'm telling you, you listen to me now. You listen to me. You can be as good as you can be, but you just get distracted. And I don't care how good you are, Satan can get you in that trap. And once you get in that trap, he'll strangle you. He'll take hold of you. And I mean, you get bit before you even knew what happened to you. He's always baiting things. He baits you men by what you look at and what you smell. He'll bait you at work. He'll bait you every place you go to get you to take the bait. And when sin, what? Is what? It bringeth forth death. You're done. You're a goner. Therefore, I have to be very careful that I don't get distracted. You think I can get distracted? Hey, even great father, don't talk on your cell phone. We're going to give you a ticket because why? There have been so many accidents. So, there are some that can talk on the phone. There are some that can walk and chew gum at the same time, too. But there are some that can't. So, therefore, we make a law. And the law says, in Great Falls, the city of Great Falls, you cannot talk on your cell phone unless you have a hands-free device. Right? That's the law. Why did they do that? Because people were becoming distracted. And distraction, why did I get the bad grades in my freshman year? Because I was dumb? Yeah. No. Because I was dumb?
No.
I was dumb. I didn't apply myself. I was distracted. All I could think about was this ball that had two points on the and shoelaces on the middle of it and had two white stripes on it. That's all I could think about. I go to class. They're my buddies, play football players. Hey, man, what do you think about that? Yeah, man. Yeah. Teacher trying to talk. Oh, my goodness. I was a 23, 24, all the way to 100. But today, when I, you know, last week when I get my transcripts, and I go, that one's good. Boy, you talk about being humble. I was really humble. And then there's a great big old stamp right there that I was ineligible. Boy, I didn't say, hey, folks, I didn't put that on the Facebook. Mm-mm. I wish I could for my kids that are going to college and going to high school say, hey, get it done now. Work hard at it. Because, boy, you work hard at it. There are blessings to receive by that. It's pretty neat when you still have the gold cords that you're in the Honor Society when you're in high school. It's pretty cool when you graduate from college, summa laude or cum laude. I graduated summa wrestler or thank you laude. But man, that's a big deal. Scholarships are out there for you. All kinds of stuff. If you just... But of course, we always say education is lost on the young, right? Why do you get a straight 4 point in the last 64 hours? I knew what I wanted. We were in this building. We were building with Monday nights, remember? Monday night, 6 o'clock at night. On Monday, we would come here and we work 6 o'clock until 6 o'clock in the morning. Everybody home, shower, go to work, or go to college. I had three sons that were in high school. I missed one field track. I went to all their basketball, all their soccer. I went to all of it. Plus, I got straight 4 point. I was looking at transfers. That's pretty nice to get an A+. How many ever got an A+? Yeah, probably in gym. By the way, I did get an A+ at Pillsbury in my freshman year. Physical ed. Amen. And why I got that was the teacher would give you an A for the day. We always had 10 minutes of dodgeball after, and if you drew blood from somebody else, you got an A for the day. Yeah, I was kind of...